Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing. It is I, Christopher William Glasson, and my co-host over there. What's your name?
It's Stuart Roy with him.
Oh, hey Stu. Yeah, I didn't forget.
How are you?
How are you? I'm all right, mate. Got the sniffles, so I'm going to try not to sniffle too much.
Please don't, because you were poorly organised for today's podcast. So when we went to record, I went, I'll tell you what, take 5 minutes, I'll put myself on mute on Zoom, and you have a little think. You turned your video camera off so I couldn't see you, but you didn't turn your mic off. So all I heard was you sniffing every fucking 10 seconds, occasionally peppered with you laughing at your own ideas.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, I apologise. I'm sorry I was poorly prepared because Mama had an accident this morning and cut her head open.
Do you know
so
what?
So rude of you.
That we've got people that support this podcast by Patreon. They actually pay money. So it's a case of getting your priorities right, mate. Either you want a couple of quid in your back pocket or you're worried about your mum.
Ah, fucker then. All right, okay, let's crack on then. Also, if you're on video, if you're watching this on video, you can see all the white stains all over my T-shirt. Maybe you're thinking my willy's healthy enough to touch now, but it isn't. They're just white stains from painting.
Wonderful.
It's not semen. Anyway, let's have a quick shout out from our sponsors.
Okay, first up, we have a brand new message from our sponsor, love-beer.co.uk. Charles says, we're delivering to home and office bars in and around London, including Essex, Kent, Hertfordshire and more.
We're a one-stop shop for everything you need to pour a beer at home, from installation of the equipment through to delivering kegs straight to the bar.
This year, with rugby and World Cups, we're also developing our hire equipment with a quick and easy-to-use solution to have kegs at home. For about $3.20 a pint, we can install a keg with all the equipment you need to pour beer for up to 2 weeks.
Yes, yes. All the equipment we provide can dispense up to 2 kegs at the same time. So if you wanted a lager and one of my amazing craft beers we featured previously on the podcast, then the per pint cost will be even lower, and the equipment we use will keep it pouring properly for the full 2 weeks without you having to do a thing.
The only thing you have to do is go to love-beer.co.uk. The world can seem like a strange and sometimes dangerous place. With Samet Academy helping you with your martial arts training, you can always feel safe. Dangerous loners are everywhere. They come across as harmless board game geeks or indie music fanatics, but the reality is far more sinister.
Yes, yes. Renchi Simon James has been training karate for over 32 years and teaching for 28. He knows through first-hand experience that martial arts can give you the stress release you've been looking for. It can teach you life lessons along with fitness and, more importantly, peace. At Sama, he teaches karate, kickboxing, tai chi and MMA to all ages, from children as young as 4 to the very elderly, even Stu.
What? Aside from that, he also teaches ladies self-defense courses, team building courses, corporate training days, apprenticeships to become a martial arts instructor for SAMA.
Yeah, he even teaches a parent and baby self-defense course. That's defense while carrying your child, not defense against maniacal murder babies, because we all know there's no defense against them. So go hit Simon up at sama-academy.co.uk. Hardcore Listing.
I love the way that you segue into a shout out from our sponsors from discussing whether you've got spaff over your T-shirt or whether it's paint. So yep. for those that have just joined the podcast that may have missed the last few episodes or random discussions about it over the last couple of years, you've recently been circumcised. As the healing process, mate.
I think it's coming along. I still have a few little panics every now and then, but you know, it seems to be the nighttime erections aren't such a problem these days. So yeah, it's all.
Has your knob gone off yet?
No, it hasn't.
Oh.
No, it hasn't. Dreams are getting sexier. Are which they? Means obviously.
Am
yeah,
I in them?
So yeah, of course. Just hopefully not too much. I'm going to make a mess, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
picturing like me and you, like Sunday night bath time. Like we're both sitting in the bath. We're like kind of got like bubbles on our faces, making little bubble beards on each other's faces, and then all of a sudden, a little tugboat pops up through the bubbles on the floor, and I'm like, oh,
Mushroom
hello.
Island. What's that? Little Mushroom Island.
Mushroom Island. Hashtag Mushroom Island. Oh, fucking hell. Right, anyway. Welcome to Hardcore Listing. Thanks to our lovely sponsors. If you would also like to get behind the podcast and kind of sponsor it, really, in a roundabout way, we have a Patreon. Mm-hmm. Patreon's really cool. It's a kind of support platform, really. But it also looks like a social media platform. So each week we upload a standalone episode that doesn't go out to the public. It only goes out to Patreon. And on their episodes, we can kind of be a little looser.
A bit more crazy.
Yeah. I don't know why. It almost says like even more unprofessional. You know, if you want to give us money, we'll be even more unprofessional. But no, we loosen up a little bit. Also, you can watch all the episodes. You can watch this episode and you can watch the Patreon episode. We put the videos up of all the episodes. So you get that and a massive back catalogue. So you can also watch the Drunk Cast featuring, like you can watch the videos of me, Scroob, Brett Goldstein, Chris, Romesh. That's a great watch. And hundreds and hundreds of episodes that have never been released to the public. Loads of radio shows I put together.
Your mixtapes are great.
Yeah, I put together some like playlists of music, but lots of little radio shows where I play records and have a little chat. So you can get all of that for not a lot, probably the price of, I don't know, a cup of posh coffee if you're in town. So you can find out all about that at Patreon, patreon.com/hardcore listing.
Boom.
Today's top five. So this one,
chosen by a friend, right?
Yeah. This one's chosen from Nina from Sex with Charlie and Nina, and also Two Girls One Shop. How can I forget that? I was chatting to Nina and I said, look, we need some top fives, and she said that she had an idea and this was it, and I said, right, we're going to do it. So huge love and thanks to Nina in chats with Charlie and Nina to have them back on, because we've not had them on since the release of
season two,
Sex with Charlie and Nina, which has become a huge smash podcast. And if you didn't check last week's episode, or maybe this, no, I suppose by the time this comes out, it'll be last week's episode, our very own Mr. Scroobius Pip is a guest on there. Go check that out. You may see a slightly, I don't know, a little peek behind the sexy curtain of Scroobius Pip.
It's a very silent, sexy curtain.
Go and have a listen. Go and have a listen
from
to
what
Sex with,
once told me,
with Charlie and Nina. But yeah, we're gonna have the girls on very soon.
Do they want us on their podcast, or do they not want to hear my stories?
I believe they do. I believe that was discussed this morning as well. So,
Sex with Charlie and Nina. Yes, please.
Oh, see what you done there.
There we go.
Right.
Okay.
Nina come up with top five things that should have been left in the 80s.
Okay, right. Who's going first?
Well, you've obviously just looked at your list and laughed again. So do you want to just get that out of your system?
I'm not saying that Nina's inspired me with this one, but a hairy pie. I'm so sorry.
You're so not sorry.
Oh, God. I don't even mean it. I don't even care what body hair you've got. I couldn't give a fucking less of a shit if girls have got hairy pussies or armpits. It really don't care. But
just girls.
It made me laugh. It made me laugh. It just made me laugh. Right. What is my actual number five? Magnolia.
Oh, good shout.
Thanks, mate. It was really hard to put these top five together. Oh, just coming back to Hairy Pie. What a great thing. Great. Anyway, Magnolia.
Just talking about Hairy Pie. I had a mate called Strand, and he was called Strand because he was got a lanky strand of piss. And he was talking about something once. And he's my one friend that all of my friends can do an impression of. Yeah. Right, but for some reason, whenever you talk about him or quote him, you do it in his voice, which is really weird because we never do that about anyone else. Mm. But he said something, and this was in the 90s, not the 80s, but there was a clip in a film of something where you saw a bit of bush. And I just remember sitting there, and he paused it and rewound it with such excitement, and he went, "Roy, I saw fur."
Fur. It was important. Listen, it was important to see as much fur as you could.
Are pubes like, fur? You
know, yeah, it's just great. It's just a furry rug, isn't it? That's another way of. That's another sort of like thing to say about a or a fur cup. I think it's great. It's great to have like a creative list of words for pubes, and yeah, I'm all for it. So, and back in the '80s and nineties, you had to get it where you could. You know, there's nothing. You weren't going to see a pair of flaps, was you? Like, you can't still see that now. So a bit of fur was very suggestive and sexy. I think we were talking about Magnolia, actually. But we could just do an episode on different ways to describe pubes. Magnolia, like, it's just that colour that was everywhere. And it's still about in houses now. It's like, I think, like, they're trying to move on to, like, you know, greys and... like sort of like browns, but Magnolia, it's like, do you want vanilla coloured walls all around your house? It just freaks me out, man. Just like, just lacking of any fucking inspiration is people who just slap Magnolia all over their walls, it just looks shit.
Just looking over your freshly decorated
it's Magnolia.
Is that Magnolia?
No, of course it's not. White? It's white. It's just because of the. It's just because the lighting is quite warm at the moment. It's coming across Magnolia, but I might actually get some like special coloured lights in here, so I can change the colour of the room for the podcast as well. So for this podcast, go on Sex with Charlie and Nina, obviously I'll get it. I'll have a red sort of.
Oh, excellent! You know, suggesting that they're prostitutes.
Yeah. No. Exactly that. No, because it's sexy, isn't it? Red.
Well, no. Roxanne put on a red light.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, that's obviously, if you put a red light on, that means that...
You're on the game.
It's a brothel.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, if we get a few knocks on the door...
Well, you ain't got... I'm sure they're not going to think it's you. They're probably going to think, who's that attractive lady that lives with that old man? Like, oh, is she on the game? You need to think about these things.
People have to learn to be disappointed, don't they, when they find out it's me. But that's all I'm going to say. They're just going to have to let me suck their dick. Right, Magnolia.
I think we're done with Magnolia now, aren't we?
Yeah. What's your number five?
The slow dance. The slow dance, right, should have been left in the 80s, right? That's where it was left. Did you ever have a slow dance? Other than like,
yeah, I loved it.
Other than a wedding,
At the like 90s school discos, we did. Yeah, it was still a thing in the 90s school discos. It was still happening, mate. Right. Well, as you say, it should have stayed there. According to you, should have stayed in the 80s. You didn't like a slow dance at a school disco. My first real, you know, intimacy with a girl in many regards.
I know, but yeah, I mean. The fact that you was a supply teacher didn't make it much fun. I never really liked a slow dance. Like, I remember like being at weddings and sort of getting roped up to have like a slow dance with my mum when I was about 8 or something, and just feeling like really awkward.
Oh, that makes sense.
And then like when I went clubbing for the first few years, in Pizzazz, you'd have a slow dance section at like 1:45. If only for tonight, don't be a stranger.
Be a stranger.
You can reach me by sailboat. And oh, I'll tell you the song I really, really fucking hate.
Yeah.
End of the Road by Boyz II Men.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that song.
End of the Road.
Oh, it's so bad. That fucking
million love songs later.
Like, so that was the erection section. And you would literally, it was bizarre. It was, I guess it was basically pre-dating app. You would hear like, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to sort things down there. And why not go and ask that special person for a dance? You can reach me by sailboat. And then you would literally walk up to a girl and go, and I'd love to think there was like a gentlemanly edge to it of like, let's have a lovely slow dance, like we was at the, you know, the Blackpool, whatever, like, and dance. But it wasn't. It was just a case of, hello, would you mind coming and standing in the middle of that dance floor while I push my semi against you and try and have a snog?
I think this is where we fundamentally, you know, don't agree. I'm all up for slow dances.
You had your full erection out before you even got to the dance floor.
Listen, I mean, that has happened as well, but I'm not saying that I always did it. I love a slow dance.
Yeah,
it's just terrifying having to go and ask like that age, ask a girl if they want to dance.
But for someone like me that had zero confidence to go, can I have your number? I couldn't do that. Like,
no.
You know, I'd be mortified of rejection. And, you know, it made it kind of, it was dark, everyone was a bit drunk, you could say, do you want to have a dance? It was a little bit of a, so what I'm saying is, back then, it was all right. So, since then, I mean, apart from Pip's failed attempt on the first night of We Are Lizards to try and bring back the slow section, which just left a load of people confused, what you get now is if, like, you know, they play a bit of, like, sexy R&B, is they do that, like, sort of grinding thing that I'm not comfortable with. Like,
yeah, no, I'm not comfortable with the fact I've done it, and like,
you are not cool enough to do that.
I remember.
I know you
Vegas.
Can dance a little bit, but you ain't cool enough for that, mate.
No, listen, I'm not saying I had any place doing it, but I remember being in Vegas doing lots of grinding with a girl I met out there. Same girl that I threw whiskey all over my face. I don't know if anyone remembers that story. But
was that the night that you got wheeled home in a wheelchair by security?
I don't know if it was.
Right.
It might be a different night. But I threw whiskey in my face. Long story. But I was just protecting myself from cold sores.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, no, I look back on that and I think, oh, that's probably not something I'd like my grandparents to see. But then I don't really want my grandparents watching me have sex. Should that stop me? I'm confused. But I like a slow dance. I was all for Pip having a slow dance thing. I think it was a collaborative idea that we'd have a slow dance section. Maybe it didn't go down so well. The kids like to put their arbor and be on now and just sort of like have a grind
together. Don't start doing it. I do not want to look at that. Like, honestly, Yeah, I'm not a fan of it, and I guess it makes me feel old when I see it. But yeah, I don't know what's the protocol, because if there is a, you know, an attractive lady or man, like, literally, like, grinding their ass against your cock and balls on a dance floor, I mean, you're gonna get a boner, right?
There's nothing wrong with that. I don't give a fucking shit.
But you're a loner with a boner. Like,
yeah, but like, when I'm not a loner with a boner, I'm a creep with a peep. And there's just someone there grinding against it. No, I've got no shade. I've got no issue with a girl like feeling my erection through my trousers. As long as, you know, that's what they want. I'm not like someone who wants to, I'm not the kind of guy to walk up to a girl in a nightclub with a full-on erection out and say, do you want me to prove I'm not gay? I'm not that kind of guy.
How was you going to prove that, should you, in a hypothetical situation? Would it have been by asking her and her mate to have a threesome in your mate's car?
Yeah, basically. Wow. Even then I asked up front. Yeah. I didn't just like, I mean, there's so much to explain here, like the whiskey thing, but
I'm just thinking about an unsolicited dick pic. Yeah, I mean, was that an unsolicited dick pic before dick pics were a thing?
I took it straight back to 80s flashing there, didn't I?
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
You know, flashing. Just straight back. It wasn't intentional flashing. I didn't know it was out, you know. It's so small, I couldn't tell. Listen. A little slow dancing. If you get a boner and they're grinding against you, I think that's kind of a good thing. I imagine that many a girl who's done that is like, oh, this is quite exhilarating. It's not appropriate to just walk up behind a random girl with a fucking chubba and just grind against her and go, no, it's okay. It's bloody Simply Red's playing. Yeah. I don't think that's acceptable.
Yeah. That made you sound like you was down with the kids. Speaking of fucking being down with the kids and slow dances. Oh, Kelly got 30 years yesterday.
I know, good. The only thing is, he's probably going to serve less than that, but I just hope it's, even if he serves half that sentence, if that's 15 years of him getting beaten to a pulp by the inmates, I mean, at least he's getting 15 years of being beaten to a pulp.
He's got to be mid to late 50s now, surely.
Yeah, hopefully his life's over. Yeah. And I'd like to try and be forgiving and see, you know, and try to understand things. And I think people with those sort of problems, it's awful for everyone involved, and many of them don't want those sort of compulsions. But when you get to R. Kelly level, and like they've been told like for 20 years, like they've had all the warnings in the world, and they've got access to any woman they want, and they didn't have to do that. I mean, no one has to do it either, but do you know what I mean? It just makes it even worse, I think. And so he can fucking burn in hell, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, good. I'm really glad. And, I hope he just has a really miserable time. Sorry, I don't know if that's
what's your number
the
four?
Best version of me. Anyway, I'm going to go in with, I just don't get double denim.
I mean,
I just don't get it.
When I think of, like, double denim, I think status quo 70s.
Oh, okay. I thought it was an 80s thing. Maybe I've got that wrong.
They've rocked it for the last 50 years.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm thinking Tiffany in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
90s, Bewitched, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Brian, what's his name? Brian Adams
Bello.
Liked a bit of that. Who? Brian. Brian Adams liked a bit of it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Have you ever wore it?
I've got a mate who wears it. I've got a mate who wears it. Good looking guy. Used to do all right with the old ladies. But just not some. I couldn't pull off double denim. I wouldn't feel comfortable in it.
I struggle with it, to get a denim jacket that works for me. I'd really like to have a denim jacket, but it just don't. It ain't a thing that I can get away with.
You're quite a unit, aren't you? I think I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to be rude here, but it is coming out quite rude. But but at the same time, I think you'd suit like a utility, like Carhartt shirt would probably look cool on you. So I don't know. Maybe it would work, but I don't know. It's just something about.
I mean, why don't you neck it with fashion advice, mate? You've got a fucking skanky old T-shirt covered in spunk, and you said you ain't even had a shower yet. If you can pull off double denim, you're a cool motherfucker.
I guess so.
Is this a good time to mention the time that Pip turned up in a denim waistcoat and jeans?
Yeah. I mean, as soon as I said denim, double denim, if he's listening, he's like, oh, hold on.
Here we
he's
go. Gonna... They're going to thumb in the fucking denim jacket again, aren't they?
Yeah. I just would have loved... I'd love to see Pip with all his worst ideas with fashion all in one night. Just that with his, like, clip-on gold tooth that he had. He's double denim.
Did he shave the little thing into look like a bloke from Alien Ant Farm in his head once?
Oh, yeah. He's got long hair now, but he could do it in his beard.
Yeah.
Just down the middle, couldn't he?
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. Yeah. But he kind of, annoyingly, he does pull these looks off, really. I just like to be, what's the word?
Horrible.
Envious. Oh. There we go. That's the word. Petty.
Yeah.
Right ho. Okay. So double denim. Yeah, that can get in the sea, really.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your number four, mate?
I'm probably going to go moustaches. I think in the 70s you had like the sort of the handlebar moustache. In the 80s they really come into their own. They had it stopped at the sort of the curve of the lip, and like, and you had your moustache was, it was a boy-see, you know, it was like it was just a bit of a statement, I think. You know, you had your kind of your sort of your. I'm going to generalise here, like through Harry Enfield, like your scarce and moustache. And I just think it was like a proper fucking bold look in the 80s. And I think, you know, you'd have like your little Mickey Pierce moustaches that were all like
more wispy.
Yeah, like my old man's moustache in the 80s was fucking solid, and I just think that, you know, you had your fucking your Magnum, like, you know, like fucking Tom Selleck just rocking a fucking tash, like,
yeah,
and it was really good. And then in the 90s they just disappeared completely, and then in the noughties the only people that had moustaches were either sex offenders or hipsters.
Yeah,
and like, and it was like them kind of like fucking ironic cunts wandering around East London, just like, oh, I've just got a moustache. Like, and it's like, well, you just look like an idiot because you're wearing fucking Carhartt and fucking whatever else, but you've got a moustache.
Old, what's his cheek cut drops from EastEnders tried to grow one as well, didn't he? Ian Beale. And that was terrible. I saw Taika Waititi with one though recently. He's the director of some of the Marvel films. I thought he looked quite cool, and Brad Pitt with a moustache pulls it off as well.
Yeah, but these are all products of like that grew up in the '80s. They're fucking their formative years were in the '80s. Look at my top lip, right? Imagine, right, if I shave my beard off, look how big my moustache is.
I've got a very thick moustache. Yeah, mate, it is like, literally, your top lip is about two. You have got a bit of a monkey face, isn't
I
you?
Have.
Top lip. That bit between your nose and your lip is just fucking massive, mate. You are the missing link. That would be 2 inches of just moustache.
Yeah.
I think the beard, like, because you've got a beard, it balances it all out now, doesn't it? But if you just had that, I mean, I'd like to see it, Stuart. I ain't going to lie. I'd love to see it. I'd pay to see it. Look at that. It's fucking insane.
It's a big moustache, isn't it? It's like a Gerard Depardieu.
I think, yeah, it is. I think it would command a lot
of
respect.
Who's that fucking cunt that does the, who's that man that does that sort of restoration show? He's got a fucking decent moustache.
Oh, what? The guy who does what? The house restoration?
I think so. I can't think what his name is.
The ex-colonel guy who did the fucking castle in France.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like him. That's he can pull it off. Yeah. I think you can. I think you're too quick to judge on this moustache.
No. If you're of an age, it's fine. But like, don't start being like 19, barely fucking can get a moustache, and then you're just swanning around fucking Kingsland Road, just going, check out my fucking ironic moustache. Fuck off, melt. Like, the thing is, these fucking annoying fucking dweebs with their fucking ironic moustaches, they're going to spend months trying to grow that whilst weekly shaving their pubes off.
Yeah, having a...
If you want a moustache, you need pubes.
Yeah,
they go exactly. hand in hand. Don't try and be a real man while shaving your pubes off.
No, and I heard people would shave their pubes off and stick it onto their top lip as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Kingsland Road. Right, okay, fair enough. You've got a problem with moustaches. Where am I? What have I done? Magnolia, and I've done... what did I do? Double denim. Okay, like 80s remakes. RoboCop fucked that one up, didn't they? Like Conan fucked that one up. Aliens, well, any Aliens film after Aliens is dog shit. Total Recall, actually released in 1990, so just about gets away with this list. But they're all shit, just like they just fucked them. Like, if you can't come up with a new science fiction is fucking fiction. Just come up with something new, for
God's
sake.
I'm going to throw an addendum onto yours, because one of mine that should have been left in the 80s is sci-fi.
Oh, that's disgusting. No. No, no, no. Like, you know, but don't just just do these remakes. Like, at least Blade Runner 2049, it's just a new film. Like, and it was really good. But
Mad Max
Fury Road, I thought was fucking epic. Mm. I thought the one with Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy was absolutely brilliant. I was watching some YouTube thing the other day, people whinging that it was too female orientated because of Charlize Theron. I was like, she was fucking wicked in that film. What are people yapping on about? Yeah, so I actually think if you're going to do a sequel, that's fine, but just straight up rewriting RoboCop, it was just so lazy. Total Recall, as I say, just about escapes my wrath today, but made no sense. And Conan, as I said the other day, is a steaming pile of bullshit, man. Like, 80s action is... Don't remake it, because you're not going to get it, and you're just going to annoy us all who really like that. Just come up with something new. And I think it's really naughty you say, all science fiction. You kind of like a bit of Star Wars, don't you?
No, but I guess so. But they were all, you know, aside from the new Star Wars, right? You tell me a sci-fi film since Return of the Jedi that's been any good.
I can tell you eight loads. I've said it before. I'm not having you drag me into this, because then you're going to start making silly arguments. I can see it. I can see you.
Oh, right, Johnny Highbrow. Like, I'm not getting.
I just said Blade Runner 2049. How's that not a masterpiece?
That's not better than any Star Wars film.
It isn't. It's at least better than four other Star Wars films. 2049.
Oh, stop it.
No, all the new ones.
What's missing? Okay. What's missing from the new Blade Runner film?
The last
Harrison
two Star
Ford.
Wars
films. Go and watch the Star Wars films. He's in all of them.
No, he's in Blade Runner 2049. Is he? Just go show you. Yes, Yamil. He's in it throughout it.
Yeah.
So,
but this is boring Blade Runner.
It's not.
It's like Star Wars, but without guns and shoot 'em ups and action.
No, there's literally all that in Blade Runner. What are you going on about?
I went to the secret cinema and fell asleep.
And I can't help you. I literally can't help you. I can't. Yeah, no, it's got all those things in there, mate. It's just not got lightsabers. Fundamentally, that's your problem. Right, so those films, what's your number three?
I think that might be my problem, actually.
Okay.
I should give that a bit of thought. My number three, soap operas.
Yeah, fair shout,
Leave
mate.
Me in the 80s.
Yeah, right. Do.
For me... you know, I grew up, you know, my very early years were in the 70s, so, you know, I got to catch, you know, Crossroads, bit of Corrie. Then the 80s, mate, fucking hell. Mm. EastEnders, I mean, that was...
It's quality.
Oh, it was quality television.
Yeah,
Neighbours,
yeah.
Home and Away, Dallas, Dynasty, Albion Market, oh no.
Biker Grove.
Like... I mean, if you want to throw in your Baker Groves and and your grain deals and things like that. Oh, fucking brilliant. 90s, Hollyoaks, fuck off.
Yeah, it did start going a bit wrong, didn't it? Like, 90s was like,
90s,
to me,
Eldorado, come on. Oh,
yeah, it just started going south, didn't it, yeah. Really? And then like, I remember it turning 2000 when I got to uni, it was 1999, and people were still watching EastEnders. I was like, what? You're what? And then, like, 2000s. What's happened since 2000s in any of these shows? It's just dog shit.
No one cares. Old people do. And, like...
Old people get a pass. Old people can do whatever they want. Yeah, because once you get... You're nearly there. Once you get to 50, everything's just locked in, stuck in time.
Yeah, of course.
You know, your brain's not going to take on anything new, Stu.
I'm already preempting it with sci-fi. Like, but it's true. Like, I don't think there's been, like... I mean, it blows my mind when, like, somebody's like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, I was watching EastEnders last night, and I'm like, who watches soap operas?
No.
Like, why would you? And I, you know, don't get me wrong, there's lots of people that are in them shows that make a very comfortable living from being in them shows, but...
They don't make that much. Molly was looking at this the other day. They don't make that much.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if you get a good role, you mentioned Ian Beale.
Oh, it's just... Yeah, right. Exactly. That's just been a cash cow for him, like, you know, forever.
Forever. And it's like...
It's just like pretty much, he doesn't even have to act because he's done it for so long. He just slightly switches his personality. I wonder if he's at home anymore.
He isn't at home anymore. He got divorced and he bought a camper van and he lives in a camper van.
What now?
Yeah,
he just outside.
Yep, he drives around, goes fishing.
What, the actor?
Adam Woodyatt goes around and he lives in a camper van there.
What? Really?
Fair play. Like,
yeah. I wonder if he ever accidentally... Do you know, like, you imagine like he's like having sex and then he just slips into his character?
I don't think he's that different from his character.
No, I don't. And that's what's brilliant about it.
Yeah. I reckon Danny Dyer's... But then again, Danny Dyer's character's not that different from Danny Dyer, is it?
Exactly. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's absolutely perfect.
So I do think that, you know, that the heyday of, like, you know, the figures for, like, Dallas were, like, off the scale. And, like, the fact that it was, like, a global fucking, like, cliffhanger story of who shot JR was this massive fucking thing. And who shot Dirty Den, like... Mm-hmm. There was, like, so many fucking mega storylines. Like, our Neighbours, fucking
Mark
hell.
Mark Watts having AIDS. Like, I mean, like, I haven't put AIDS, but AIDS should have stayed in the 80s. AIDS should have really stayed in the 80s, shouldn't it, really? It's just
you
a tragedy.
Have a little listen back to what you just said.
Oh, I said Mark Watts. Did he have it?
Mark Fowler.
Yeah, mate, Mark.
Fucking
Mark Fowler. Sorry, Watts.
Look at Todd Carty. Not only was he Mark Fowler, he was Tucker Jenkins in fucking Grange Hill. Like,
living the soap dream.
Living the soap dream. And then, yeah, you get Hollyoaks. Hollyoaks, he's rubbish. Was always rubbish.
Yeah, it was pretty shit.
And, yeah. It's not.
Although they did like Hollyoaks Lates, where it all got a bit more sexy. I really think if you're going to do that, have it as a soap and then just have it go straight into hardcore porn. Like, have it on Pornhub or whatever.
Dirty now, soap.
People would really... Yeah, you need a soap because it's going
to
get
dirty. You won't be able to scrub this kind of filth off.
Making a soap is so cheap now. They might as well just do porn like that. Just have them banging the shit out of each other. It'd be brilliant. Pornhub, you got that. You can have that for free.
I do not want to see fucking Ken Barlow smashing the granny out of fucking Sharon Watts. I don't want to see that.
To each their own, mate. To each their own.
All right.
What's my number two? Bum bags. What the fuck is going on?
Well, leave them there because they're back.
No, that's what I mean.
You leave must see them everywhere where you live.
Oh, it drives me mental. Look, just like Glastonbury. Glastonbury was great watching Glastonbury this year. I wish I could have gone. But the bum bags thing, I've just seen young people with bum bags. It confuses the shit out of me. Like, I don't get it. Like, You know, what do you need in that bag? You don't need anything.
Phone, backup charger,
yes,
money,
your fucking watch.
Maybe some tablets if you've got like a health condition. And if you can get a small bottle of water in there, maybe some hand sanitizer.
You know what? If you're at Glastonbury, ID. I'm gonna give you a free pass. But I don't know why people need to wear bum bags. I just don't get it. The look is disgusting.
You've got a bag. I can see it from here.
That's a fucking £200 Stussy versus Herschel bag up there, mate. And I've had it for probably 8 years now, and I love it. But it's just that's a hold-all bag. Mm. It's the bomb. Anytime I carry that round, people just look at me, and I already know that they think I'm better than them. But a bum bag.
I know it's different if you live in Margate, but like where I still live in a very working class area, like I can't afford £200 on a hold-all. And so, you know, unfortunately, you know, me and my other sort of working class friends have to go with what we can afford. And if that's a small bum bag, then so be it. We can only dream of having to get in another little cleaning job on the side to try and, you know, put a little bit of money aside that one day, maybe we could afford a £200 hold-all. And walk around knowing that other people know that we're better than them.
You won't be better than me.
Yeah.
I've already got it, mate. It's too late. You stick with your bum bags. I think you should do 30 years like R. Kelly, to be honest with you.
See that geezer with that Stussy bag? No? Did you not? Oh, he had spunk all over his fucking dirty T-shirt. where are we at? I've just done soaps.
That was my number two. No, I just did bum bags as well. Oh, right. So you were on your number two now, mate.
Right. Okay, I'm not going to say sci-fi.
You slipped it in, didn't you?
I was going to mention fingering,
No, they we need more of it.
Yeah, I don't. It was in its heyday in the 80s, wasn't it?
But good fingering. I'm sure girls just don't want like some fucking 14-year-old just trying to ram their digits up there. Like high quality fingering.
Why did you instantly just go to somebody underage?
I don't know. Like because that's where it all happens, isn't it? Just it's like that. What? Like no, not you fingering an underage girl, but like when you're younger.
No, point of me. You said it.
What I'm saying is, like, you know, that's where youngsters sort of start to find their feet with the first base is what kissy. What is first base?
I don't know. I didn't kiss a girl till I was about fucking 28.
First base is like kissing.
You was already fucking rattling off to fucking 4-year-olds about pearl necklaces when you was fucking barely out of nappies.
Listen, we all had a different entry point and mine was weird.
Don't say that.
Yeah, no, like I think that's one of the first things that the youth get up to. Right. That's all right.
All right, well, let's park up fingering.
But no, yeah.
Right,
okay,
I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to go with...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
James Bond.
It's quite a good one, this, actually. It's quite an interesting one. Yeah, go on.
So growing up in the sort of... You know, I started growing up in the 70s. I didn't. I was born in 73. So, you know, most of my early memories are from the very, very end of the 70s. And obviously most of my formative years were in the 80s. And it was a thing that at Christmas there'd be a James Bond on Christmas Day. And I always remember, like, the kind of idea of James Bond, because I had, like, the little white car, like, I had the toy car of that, and I remember thinking it was really cool. And I liked ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. I liked the music. But then I think the reality of it, when it came on Christmas Day, was, he's really boring. Like, I just wanted to watch Charlie in the Chocolate Factory or something like that. I just wanted to watch Flash Gordon or...
I'm fucking glad I weren't in... Well, like, Flash Gordon, fine. But you wanted to watch Charlie in the Chocolate Factory and James Bond was on. And if I was your brother, I'd have been fucking gutted.
What, you would rather watch James Bond than fucking Gene Wilder's seminal performance as fucking...
As an adult, I probably prefer Charlie in the Chocolate
Factory. But
Charlie
as a kid, you'd rather watch some fucking... boring old misogynist fucking drive around in a fucking car in a suit and occasionally have a fucking punch up, slap a bird's ass.
Oh, I didn't.
Rather than
really
watch some fucking mad professor with a load of kids in a factory jumping in rivers of chocolate and fucking going on psychedelic trains and fucking everlasting gobstoppers. What's wrong with you?
Yes, no, I would. Like, I didn't really get the misogyny bit, like, because I was a kid. And you also, like, I was brought up in an era of action, so. There's a thing about
I was brought
James
up in
Bond
a household where my dad regularly slapped my mum's ass when he walked past her.
I remember, like, James Bond films and all that. Like, the idea of being a secret agent as a young boy is just, like, was just so good. I just loved it.
But
it's
boring.
Okay, to you it's boring. To me and to, you're probably in the minority there, to many of us it was absolutely incredible. I didn't really understand that sort of like the angle of misogyny till much later. It's almost like, as we say, it's like it was like ingrained in culture and it's terrible. And that's the aspect of James Bond that I have a big issue with now. And I actually think like the Daniel Craig version and what they did with that trilogy, I think that was brilliant. I think they did a much better job in terms of turning that around and stuff like that. But it does feel like it's stuck in the past. And it was a weird thing. I was talking about this thing a minute ago about Charlize Theron in Mad Max, like being this strong female character who was fucking epic. And there was people bitching about the last James Bond because the new 007 was this female 007. But it was really good. Like, she was really good. She was really cool in it. And I just thought, I'd rather, like, I kind of still like James Bond to an extent, but I'm like, I've seen that film now. So I'm all for them pushing it along and coming from different angles with the story.
That was very powerful.
So yeah, I think traditional James Bond, I think you're absolutely right. I think it can kind of stay a bit in the 80s. I'm all for seeing some new things. And you know, if they're going to reprise James Bond, fine. I'm not saying it should end, but you know, I think they need to continue with the idea of not having it as this ass-slapping sort of guy. So I'm not saying that a man can't be a man either. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying cut the misogyny shit out of it and maybe tell some creative new stories, you know?
Yeah, I think for me in the 80s, you know, it was Moonraker. It was, oh, the living daylights. Or Dance into the Fire.
Like, that's my favourite one.
See, in the 80s, had the best
living
Bond themes.
Die.
Like, dun. That would have been late 70s, I reckon, Live and Let Die. Dun. But
what
like
was that? That was Live and Let Die, sorry.
What was that called? Fucking hell. But yeah, and then when it gets into the 90s, you've got fucking Gladys Knight and I Got a License to Kill. And it's like, it's just, no, that might even have been late 80s, actually. But then it's all boring then. It's like Adele, like, and it's bore off. Like,
I thought Adele's one for Sky, I thought that was quite good. I didn't like Madonna's one was really bad.
I'll tell you what, speaking of Adele, and you mentioned AIDS sufferer Mark Watts, former guest Mark, well, no, he's not been on this podcast, has he? He's been off a beaten track. And was you there? Was you? I think I might have done a top five with Rooty when you wasn't, when you was away.
Oh yeah, I wasn't there.
But former hardcore listener guest Rooty, who our friend Mark manages, has just been announced as support to Adele at Hyde Park.
Incredible! Yeah, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, big up the Essex Massive. Yeah, and I just think. I remember like watching. I remember thinking Moonraker was good because I think Moonraker had Jaws in it anyway. And I remember thinking he was like really scary.
Great. It's when he partners up and he's got a laser gun.
Yeah, and then I just remember thinking it's all boring there and like and yeah and the fact they're still banging on about it, it's like oh, you've told the story. Just let it go. Make something else fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of down with that line of thought.
What's your number one?
Do you know what says you haven't got a fucking idea? And you just, and nothing says I couldn't care less more than a fucking quiche. Just quiche for me can just stay in the 80s, to be honest with you. You know what? I don't like going around someone's house, right? And there's a particular family member where, you know, we just put some bits on. It's like, we come around for dinner, yeah. And then we're like, oh, you know, we just thought we'd put some bits on because it'd be easier. It's like, I've fucking cooked for you. And now I come around here and it's just like an M&S quiche. Ah, and I don't even mind quiche. I'm just bored of it, mate. I just think it's an 80s thing that can just stay there. Fuck off. How about you? Do you think that's... You're upset about this.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I can tell.
I'm not. I remember, like, as a kid, like, there was being, like, you know, if there was, like, a little kind of buffet spread, I'd be, like, the gannet that would just be, like, hoovering up the little picnic eggs and, like, the little sausages. This was before I discovered French bread with pâté and peanuts. But my brother choked on a peanut once at a family party at a buffet, and my dad held him upside down by his feet and shook him.
Did it come out?
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously, he's still alive. Do you know what? Let me break down quiche, right? If it's got, like, a tomato, like, slices of tomato in it, just fuck off. Because that, certainly if it's hot, because you just get that tomatoey taste, just, like, kind of that horrible, like, watery tomatoey taste just goes into, mush, like, the cheese. Yeah. Oh, fuck off. Like, hot quiche can fuck off. Out the fridge, just like a kind of cheesy, eggy, like
with little
quiche.
Bacon bits in.
Oh, mate.
I get it.
I'm down with that. It's got to be out the fridge, though. I don't want it room temperature. I don't want it hot out the fridge.
I get it. I don't know. I just look at quiche. It just bores me. Yeah. I think quiche bores me like sci-fi bores you.
I reckon if you went exploring today where you live, I bet there's some kind of ironic fucking quiche restaurant in Margate now.
No, there's probably like, they probably do like £30 quiches.
Yeah.
You know, artisan quiches. Yeah. But they make it, they probably made it themselves as opposed to just like, you know, it's come from, it's like Asda's own quiche.
Well, no, hang on. No, you played it down. Hell. You played it down for impact Asda's on the story there. You played it down. Fucking... No.
Right,
you played it down there to fucking serve your story. Your loving relative, you said M&S. That's different. They've made effort there.
But it won't be M&S, though.
You said it was M&S. Then you changed it to Asda.
No, listen. I got it wrong when I said M&S. I wasn't thinking clearly.
Muscle memory, wasn't it? Muscle memory, you fucking Margate helmet.
No, because I shop in M&S, obviously.
What, when Waitrose is shut?
When I fill up... What do you think I fill that bag up with? Everyday value, Tesco's, blue and white stuff. No.
That's where you get
I
your
fill
fucking
that up with the best.
£20 bottle of wine, isn't it?
I go to, if Budgeons was here, I'd go in Budgeons, and my £20 bottle as well. Like, but no, but it won't be. It'll be like an Asda or Sainsbury's like quiche, and you just think, oh, you just, oh, what's the salad? Some iceberg lettuce. Oh, this is going to be a nice meal. Can't wait to eat this.
You're selfish, you are. Like, somebody that's invited you to their home.
I'd rather not. And do you know what's for pudding?
Well, hopefully they're listening, you know, and it won't pudding? Be a problem anymore. Angel Viennetta. Delight, I hope. Ah, oh, even Viennetta. Better. What's
no,
wrong
because
with you?
Viennetta.
You've changed.
Viennetta was nice in the 80s.
It's still nice now.
No, it's not. And you know what it does? It makes me think, oh, the 80s was shit when I ate it. I'm like, oh, was this good back then, was it? Because I liked it back then, but things have moved on. I don't watch reruns of Dungeons and Dragons, the cartoon, because it depresses me, because it's dog shit now. But back then it was great, and I'd rather not eat Viennetta and be reminded that, you know, actually it's probably rose-tinted glasses.
I had a Viennetta ice cream last night.
Did you really?
Yeah, so they've made little mini ones on lolly sticks.
No.
It was all right.
Oh, that sounds quite good, actually. It was. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, like this whole list is pretty much me just being cantankerous, and I don't really hate any of it.
People understand that this podcast works, Chris. You don't need to explain that. My number one. I'm going to talk music. So two specific types of music that should be left in the 80s.
Right, coming in.
Hair metal. Right. So,
I'm in complete agreement.
So
with that,
all of them awful bands, like,
I nearly said those hairstyles.
Like, oh, that, I mean, they
don't
can
see
stay
them,
there as
you
well.
You don't see them a lot, though, do you? Really?
No.
So, but hair metal's still knocked about a bit. Yeah.
All of them, awful, awful bands like Skid Row, Extreme, Motley Crue, all of that. Like, just it's not rock and roll. It's pop music. It's bad pop music.
Yeah.
It's not gnarly. It's just. Yeah, it's faff, and I'm really thankfully Kurt and all the exciting guitar music happened in the early 90s just got rid of all of that. And then somehow Guns N' Roses managed to sort of cut through it, and somehow John Bon Jovi managed to sneak his way through the 90s, still having hits, and he just kind of like. He put a little wedge in the door and left it open. And then before you know it, in the fucking noughties, Motley Crue are back. And then all of a sudden, Poison are back. Like, Rocker Love's on the television, you know. And like, and then there's just this kind of surge of, oh, it's really cool, like, hair metal. And it's like, it's not.
Nah.
It's not. Like, you look back at it and laugh at how ridiculous they looked, as we look back at the New Romantic thing and laugh at how ridiculous they looked. The New Romantic thing had really fucking amazing, pivotal, genre-changing music in it. Hair metal just had really fucking empty, soft, like, nothing music.
Reductive of all the things that it came from, yeah.
There was some amazing stuff going on with guitars in the 80s, you know. If you look at bands like the fucking Cure and the Smiths and things like that, people doing really fucking amazing things with guitars. And then you've just got a load of fucking people looking fucking awful, just fucking singing about fucking misogynistic shit, no doubt. But anyway, so yeah, we can park that up. We don't need any more hair metal. We'll leave that in the 80s. House music. Let's leave house music in the 80s.
Oh, I like house music. No, I'm kidding,
like,
mate.
Because for me, I caught house music when I was maybe 15, 16, 17. And in, you know, 80, maybe 88 to maybe 91, 92.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt really exciting and new and fresh and exciting. Mm. And I just find it quite uninspiring now. Occasionally,
yeah, but you're one of those losers that doesn't like drugs.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.